Hi, this is Pastor Leon Pretorius from Grace Fellowship Sasselburg. Welcome to episode 16. We are now finishing our last study on the fact that God controls all things and works it according to the counsel of His will. You'll remember I said to you that we are busy. The bigger question, how is God related to suffering in general? I'm going to try and draw this all together for you in this episode. I just want to show you one more aspect that of God's control that the Bible clearly teaches. That is that God controls Satan. Now, we've seen so far that God controls the natural world. He controls random events. He controls human history. We've spent a couple of episodes to show that God controls human decisions. And now, in this episode, I want to show you that God controls Satan. First of all, turn with me to Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 1. And then we're going to read just a couple of verses there. Job, you'll all remember, is the man who was tested severely. And it's important to notice how the test came about. In chapter 1, verse 6, we read, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' And then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.'" In other words, Job is like no one else. He's righteous. And then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has and on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, he will surely curse you to your face." Notice verse 12. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power.'" What we read there is God saying, "I give you permission. I give you permission, but I only give you permission to do this. You are only allowed to touch the things that he has, his possessions. Only do not put forth your hand on him." And so Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Clearly there, God gives Satan permission to now go out and test Job. Again in chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 6, we read, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' And then Satan asked the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause.' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold,'" notice again, "'he's in your power. Only spare his life.'" Again, the Lord does the same thing. He says, "You have authority now to do something, but I set the limits for what you're allowed to do." And so Satan goes out, and we know that he strikes Job with the most terrible sickness. And Job sits in ashes and sackcloth. And the rest of the book of Job tells us what happened. Again, in Luke chapter 4, to show you this truth that God controls Satan, Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus in the desert being tempted by Satan. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And I want you to listen very carefully to how Satan phrases what he's about to say to Jesus. Verse 5. And Satan led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said to Jesus, I will give you all this domain and its glory. In other words, I will make you a rock star. People will love you. They'll worship you. They will fall over their feet for you. I will give all this domain and its glory. Listen carefully. Because it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Satan himself confesses that it has been handed over to him. His authority has been given to him. By who? Of course, by God. God is the only one who can give that kind of authority. He has given the authority to Satan because God has a predetermined objective that he is busy accomplishing through this arch enemy. Now, this does not make Satan any the less responsible for the wicked and evil that he does in the world. But what we have to notice is that God controls him. He sets the boundaries. And as I've said so many times, a way to think about this is Satan is indeed a very, very vicious, hungry, dangerous lion. But he's a lion on a chain, and God himself is holding the chain. He cannot do what he wants to. He can only do what God has allowed him to do. I will give you all this domain and its glory, he says to Jesus, because it has been handed over to me. I have been given this authority, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I'll remind you of 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21. Remember when we dealt with that text? 2 Samuel 24 verse 1, the Bible says that the anger of the Lord incited David to number the people. And then yet when we go to 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, we read that Satan himself incited David. There again, I think my way of looking at that text and harmonizing those two texts is to say what happened there was exactly what happened in Job and what we see explained in Luke, that Satan is allowed by God to do these kinds of things, but only within the boundaries of which that God has set for him. So, God controls Satan. Clearly then, the Bible describes a world under the deterministic control of God. Now that makes us uncomfortable. But this is what the Bible describes, and we have to bow because this is the truth. God works in, through, by, under, over, out of, and by means of every material and immaterial detail in creation. What are the implications of this for suffering in general? If God controls all things after the counsel of his will, this is good news. Because since God directs the micro and the macro elements of creation history, all suffering has a purpose. We praise God for that. Everything that happens has a purpose. There's no such thing as a meaningless and random event that causes suffering. Everything that causes suffering has a mandate from God. It has a commission from God. It has a job description that God has given it. Listen to Lamentations 3, verse 37 to 38. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Notice now that the Bible teaches us that God is over every one of the sources of suffering. You remember that there are five sources of suffering: my sin, other people, the fallen world or the natural world, and then there was Satan, and then I said there was God. Now, the biblical picture is that God is sovereignly controlling all things, and he works all things. That's my sin, other people, the fallen and the natural world, and Satan himself. He works all things to bring about his objectives. So to conclude then, the way that God is related to suffering is that he gives it purpose. He gives it meaning. He is the one who is working that suffering to bring about his predetermined objective. So every event, every sickness, every war, every sin, and everything that brings about suffering is directed and used by God to bring about his redemptive purposes. That must bring you comfort, because God is good, and everything he does has his glorification and your joy, your ultimate joy at heart. Think about Jesus when he is in the heavens. The Bible says that he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he let it go. And why? Because he had your interests at heart. Now, there may be suffering in your life, but know this, that God is working that suffering to bring about his predetermined ends, his purposes. Now, that brings us to a crucial question. What are these purposes that God is working all things toward? If we can understand that, we will go a very far way in understanding what God is doing in our lives and in this world. Now, until we meet again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.